Good afternoon. I'd like to call our regular Winter Park City Commission meeting to order of this March 24, 2014 in our great city. To start our meeting the correct way, I'm going to ask and invite Pastor Stan Reinemann from our Redeemer Lutheran Church to lead us in our invocation, and if I'd ask the audience to both silence your cell phones as well as remain standing for our Pledge of Allegiance, please. Reverend.
Yes, please.
Good afternoon. Let us pray. Creator God, as there are many members in one body, so we, though many, are one in you. You promise that wherever two or three are gathered in your name, you have promised your presence always. And you urge us to live lives that are worthy of your calling, that we may be humble and gentle, always eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit through the bonds of peace. Grant this assembly now your wisdom and courage to pursue justice and peace for the mutual well-being of all in this community that we are called to serve. And in your presence now, we pray for and use this time, the moment of silence, to remember all those with needs of any kind, mind, body, or soul, of which there are so many. We lift up all those who serve and protect us here and abroad. For our nation and world, especially those who have suffered tragedy, loss of life and home and family, those affected by war and violence, by air disaster, those involved in political conflicts, and those buried in mudslides and floods. We pray for those who have fallen in the line of duty, especially for Officer German, his family, and for the people of Windermere. Be with their families and in that community and all those touched by that loss. And lastly, for any need present in this place, each one of us is precious in your sight. You know our hearts and our minds and our conscience as well. So it's into your hands we place ourselves when we commend for all for whom we pray, trusting in your love and mercy and grace. Amen.
Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
It is indeed an honor to celebrate democracy today, for this is the meeting where we swear in two commissioners for their second terms. We live in the greatest country on earth, where we each have the opportunity to vote for our elected officials or vote for others who strive for those positions. And today we will be taking the oath of office will be Commissioners Leary and Sprinkle. Commissioner Sprinkle will be taking the oath of office first, and I believe it is her husband, Judge Sprinkle, that will be swearing her in.
And my child.
And your child, great.
I, Sarah Sprinkle.
I, Sarah Sprinkle.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support, protect, and defend.
That I will support, protect, and defend.
The Constitution and government.
The Constitution and government.
Of the United States.
Of the United States.
And of the state of Florida.
And of the state of Florida.
That I am duly qualified.
That I am duly qualified.
To hold office.
To hold office.
Under the Constitution.
Under the Constitution.
Of the state.
Of the state.
And that I will well.
And that I will well.
And faithfully perform.
And faithfully perform.
The duties of.
The duties of.
Commissioner.
Commissioner.
For the City of Winter Park.
For the City of Winter Park.
Of which I am.
Of which I am.
Now about to enter.
Now about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God. Thank you, dear.
I have to tell you that the second time around feels different than the first time around, for whatever it's worth, because those words really mean something different to you because you've had the opportunity to live them for 3 years. So thank you for coming out. I just want to thank my family, first of all, because those of you who know me know they're always first in my life. My friends and so many of you who helped me with the campaign, thank you so much. For the community who came out and really gave us a very great victory, we appreciate it. For the city and the staff who do so much to make this a great place to live, I will tell you that my life has always been noted by service. As a teacher, as an educator, you do this job because you want to make a difference. As a teacher, we got into the world of teaching because we wanted it to be a better place because we were here. And I still feel that way, and I believe that's my role as a commissioner now, to make sure our city continues to get better and better because of our service. And I could not do that without you, so thank you, and it's an honor to serve you.
Commissioner Leary will be taking the oath of office. His family will be with him, and his son William will be swearing him in.
I, Stephen Leary, do solemnly swear.
I, Stephen Leary, do solemnly swear.
That I will support, protect, and defend the Constitution and the government of the United States and the state of Florida.
That I will support, protect, and defend the Constitution and government of the United States and the state of Florida.
I am duly qualified to hold office under the Constitution of the state.
That I am duly qualified to hold office under the Constitution of the state.
And that I will well and faithfully perform the duties of the Commissioner for the City of Winter Park, of which I am now about to enter.
And that I will well and faithfully perform the duties of Commissioner for the City of Winter Park, of which I am now about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Okay. Wow. That almost got me. Yeah. First of all, I want to thank everybody that I serve with up here. We disagree, but it's funny to call four people who I speak to, probably the least out of anybody I spent so much time with, good friends and associates, and I appreciate everything you guys do. It's an honor to serve with you. Second, I will let everybody here know that when we go to the state level, we have seen through the past couple of months national figures. Jeb Bush was here, President Obama was here. We've seen state leaders, regional leaders, local leaders come through this area, and every one of them tells us how special Winter Park is. Senator Thrasher doesn't even represent this area. When we saw him last week, he said we're his adopted home. He loves coming here so much. So it's nice to see that we're doing some good here. U.S. Airways magazine, 3,200 flights a day. 3.2 million readers featured Winter Park on its cover this past month. Forbes magazine, about a million readers this past month, saw an article in Winter Park that compared us to Sausalito, La Jolla, Southampton. That's a pretty heady company. Their website reaches 25 million people. So be careful what you wish for. When you have a great place, people are going to come here, and they're going to find us, and they found us. So it's my honor to serve you all in this place. I asked my son, William, to swear me in today, because I think what we do, I know what we do, is for future generations. And it's guys like him and Jack and Alexander that we do this so that sometime in the future, if they choose to come back here and live, they will have a place, they will have a home, and it's an option. And if they don't choose to, that's fine, but at least we prepare this city for the future, and we're on the right track to doing that. I want to thank my brother, who, it's tough when you talk about family. When I usually talk about them, it's not good things. One of six kids, boy, you learn to fight your battles. But Bill is my business partner and my friend, and he allows me the flexibility to do this job and also work, and I appreciate it, Bill. Thank you. This one's going to be really tough. Mom and Dad. You guys gave me a lot of great things. You gave me the best thing, which is five brothers and sisters, which is also kind of selfish because you got 21 grandkids out of it. So let's just be honest about it. But you gave us you taught us each to think individually and act independently, but you told us how to work together as a team and to work together as a unit and to work hard always. So thank you, and now I'm going to embarrass you because I missed your birthday last week, so happy birthday, Mom. I would like to say I was doing something important, but I want to thank my in-laws, too, for being here, John and George Shealy. We have some work to do in guaranteeing Winter Park serves future generations. We're on the right track. I'm going to keep working forward. I'm going to keep pushing forward to make sure we are preparing for future generations. But as of now, I just want to get moving forward to do the work of the city and work of the people of the city of Winter Park. So thank you all for being here today, and it's my honor to serve you all. Thanks.
This obviously is what America is all about and what makes America so great. Thank you, commissioners. Good luck in your new terms of office. We've all done this agenda before in one way, shape, or form or another, so that's nice that we know. So I'm going to call for if there's any changes to the agenda. Mr. Knight, any changes?
No, sir.
Thank you. What's the will of the commission on the agenda?
Move the agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. I have the opportunity of presenting two good things under my merit. We have just celebrated, and by the way, for all who participated in our Winter Park Arts Festival, our staff and everything who made that possible, please give them a round of applause. Could you imagine our city without the arts festivals? I don't think you can even envision our city without the arts festivals. And what a wonderful contribution to our city of the artists that come. Love being here, and our staff, literally hundreds of our staff, Randy, thank you on behalf of the commission for all that they do to make this so successful. One of the other really special things, and most of the time the audience doesn't get to see it as much as we who sit up front, because we're looking out, get to see and enjoy is the art that gets displayed in our chambers here. And I'd like to invite Ben Rupp to join me at the podium here. Ben is actually the artist that has graced us with these beautiful pieces of art around us. Aren't they beautiful? I think this is great. Art in Chambers is a program of our Winter Park Public Art Advisory Board to increase our residents' and visitors' access to art, especially our local artists. They also do our annual Art on the Green project, too. And we probably, the five of us or the seven, eight of us that get to sit up on the dais, probably enjoy this project more than anybody. Again, I enjoy it and would invite you at a break or whatever to look at this art. But we are so blessed to have Art in Chambers here, which rotates throughout our commission, as well as next door in the Chapman Room. This spring, Ben Rupp's arts, our artist Ben Rupp, has with his works has enlivened our public rooms here at our City Hall. Ben is an artist, a graphic designer, and a photographer. His handmade books and boxes were actually displayed last year in the 54th Winter Park Sidewalk Art Festival, and he was selected as an emerging artist. Ben, boy, the judges didn't get that one right. I think you are an artist with the work that's around us. It's so beautiful. We thank you for what you're doing, for what you're sharing with our city, and especially for what you share with us. And I'd like for you to, if you'd like to, say a few words about both your art and about what's inspired you. Ben, thank you very much.
Well, I'd like to thank, first of all, Lindsay and Katie, who helped very much, helped me a lot getting everything set up. And Katie found me and contacted me about the opportunity to show here, and I thought, that's awesome. I had no idea that Art in Chambers actually showed local artists' work in this location, which is awesome. We really appreciate it, and it's a really great opportunity. I love art, and I love the opportunity that it has to express so much, like emotion, beauty, and everything between. And the art here, basically, I'll just say that it's a form of art that portrays my true love for movies. I love movies. I love cinematography. And these photographs I've put together to kind of showcase that style. With the black bars on top and bottom, the colors are a little desaturated, a little moody, dark, and contrasty. They just have kind of like a still shot or a still frame from the movie. And that was my goal, and that was my my inspiration. So I just like to thank you again for this opportunity, and I look forward to seeing what new artists show up in the future. And thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Lindsay, thank you. I know we've got a couple of members of our Arts Advisory Board. Francine Newberg's here. Any others? Yes, please. Just wave. It's because of their work that they do this. Don, thank you so much for what you've done. Kate, are there others? Am I missing anybody? We're going to get a picture together. Absolutely. Thank you. But thank you for what you all do to make this so much better. It's we're graced as a city because of people like Ben, and we're appreciative of you displaying this wonderful art. Ben Teresa wants to get pictured with me and you. Should we do it in the back? Okay.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Thank you, Ben. Continued success, and thank you for gracing our chambers. You know, another great part, in fact, we saw it at the Arts Festival. It was just fabulous. I'd like to invite Butch Margraf up, but many of you saw it, many of you came by bike, which was great, to the Arts Festival. Butch, as you know, is our Winter Park traffic manager, and members of our Pedestrian and Bicycle Advisory Board are also with him today. Are they here? Nobody was able to come. They're out biking and walking today, which is a good thing. On a beautiful, well, it's not raining yet, so that's good. Butch, and by the way, I had the opportunity of serving with Butch in our Rotary Club. Many of you may know, but he was our former past president of the Winter Park Rotary Club, so Butch serves our community in many, many, many ways. But as our traffic manager and working especially with pedestrian and bicycle safety, he's an essential part of our city staff. Thank you, Butch, for all of your hard work in making this a greater and safer place for both pedestrians and bicyclists. On behalf of the City Commission, I would like to present you this proclamation recognizing March as Winter Park Bicycle Month. Whereas for more than a century, the bicycle has been an important part of the lives of most Americans. Whereas today, millions of Americans engage in bicycling because it is a viable and environmentally sound form of transportation, an excellent form of fitness, and provides quality family recreation. Whereas Winter Park's Green Local Government Initiative is an environmental action agenda designed to transform Winter Park into one of the most environmentally conscious cities in America, encouraging environmentally friendly lifestyles through alternative transportation modes like bicycling. Whereas the City of Winter Park incorporates multimodal policies when investing in road improvements to enable safe access for all users, including bicycle lanes, bicycle routes, off-road trails, and bike parking. And whereas the education of both cyclists and motorists as to the proper and safe operation of bicycles is important to ensure the safety and comfort of all users, now therefore I, Kenneth W. Bradley, by virtue of the authority vested in me as mayor of the great city of Winter Park in the great state of Florida, do hereby proclaim the month of March 2014 as Winter Park Bicycle Month in the city of Winter Park, and encourage all residents to ride their bicycles and those who drive with safety in mind. Butch, thank you for what you do. I know Teresa wants to get a picture, but we want to hear from you. You come with props, so even better.
Go ahead. Well, first I'd like to say that Lindsay also helps out with the bike ped board. She's a member of the BPAC Metro Plan, so that's a big help for us. Now, as was mentioned about the art festival, we ran the bike ballet, and actually the proper way to say that is that the Winter Park High School Key Club ran the bike ballet. We were building a good relationship with them. It takes volunteers to work. These kids are fantastic. In the future, you'll be seeing them. We're trying to make them look as professional as possible. They'll be wearing these nice purple vests. The theme for the ballet is purple. They parked 250 bikes over the 3 days. So that was a lot of good comments. A lot of people say they'll be back next time and they want to see more of the bike ballet. Now, in addition, this month, this Friday coming up is the 6th annual Bike from Park to Park. And that's why I brought the prop along. And you're all invited to attend. I know Commissioner Cooper has rode in that event before, but we touched 6 parks on this route. It's escorted by the police department. They do a fantastic job of keeping us safe on basically this parade. And that's all I have to say. I want to thank you for the proclamation.
Great. I think we should keep that on for the picture. Let's do that. I think this would be the first proclamation I've given to somebody in a hat.
You know, one other thing of note, our city, our library, through Healthy Central Florida and others, now have a bike checkout service. So in addition to all of the services that you get at our public library, you can also check out a bicycle, which I think is an incredible service, and certainly is just continues to show how we lead in so many different ways. Butch, thank you. The staff, Lindsay, thank you for what you do, and appreciate all those who work to make our city a better place. I have 2 other comments, if I may. Again, the Arts Festival was so successful. Talked to many of the artists, and they felt it was one of the best ones that they've attended, which in and of itself speaks well. The team that puts this on, and again, thank you, staff. Thank you, Randy, for your leadership. Michelle, everybody who makes this happen is really, really worthy. A matter of personal note, if I might. I had the privilege for the first time as an elected official to serve on our canvassing board with Commissioners McMacken and Commissioners Leary, which certifies our elections. I know people have done that for all of our elections. And I have to personally call out a person that makes all our elections run with integrity, who has the respect of those in Orange County, and that's our own city clerk, Cindy Bonham. Cindy, I think that she already leaves. Cindy is one of those good people that's a behind-the-scenes person. And I say that because I know she doesn't necessarily like the limelight, but I have a new appreciation, and it was really one of those things that I wish every citizen could have the opportunity to watch the canvassing board. And it's not just the canvassing board. It's the legal respect that goes on. It's the Bill Cowell's office and all that they do. And I'm going to brag a moment on Cindy, but when Cindy walks in that office down there, the respect that the office of the people that work with the elections board from the elections commission has for Cindy and thus the city of Winter Park is above any reproach and is incredibly successful. Cindy, you make democracy happen in our city, and I want to say personally thank you. It was neat to watch it from the inside, so to speak. That concludes my mayor's report. I'm going to go to the city manager's report. Mr. Knight?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just want to echo my thanks to the city staff and the Winter Park Sidewalk Art Festival Volunteer Board for
yes.
the work that they did to put on this event. The number of hours that staff puts in and that volunteer board puts in to make that happen is amazing. And Michelle DeValle leads that team, and with the police, fire, streets, parks, even finance and code enforcement, and everybody gets involved in this event, and it makes it very special and keep me from getting the phone call. So that's a good thing. I have no other report. Glad to answer any questions.
Questions of the city manager. Mr. Mayor, I have one. Could you update us, it's in your report, I guess I would say the progress of the temporary certificate of occupancy for the Alfond Inn.
It's being held up for one item related to the drainage. We're waiting for a certification that something's working right on the drainage. That's the last item. It's my understanding the last item holding up the permanent certificate of occupancy.
So that's something that the Alfond Inn provides us, or is that what we're waiting for?
Their engineer.
Okay. How long does it, I'm just interested, how long does a temporary certificate of occupancy, is there a time certain around that?
I don't see, is George?
30 days.
It continues to be renewed.
Renewed.
Right.
I just, hopefully we bring that to some conclusion relatively soon. I just see that as a pending outstanding item that.
Yes, sir, and we agree.
Good.
Mr. Mayor, one thing.
Yes, questions.
Would you give a quick update on after our trip to Tallahassee and anything that came out of the discussion that we've had?
Well, we met with several of our state representatives, both on the Senate and the representative side, and the good news coming out of it is, at least for now, we've got $400,000 in the Senate side of the budget for Mead Garden project, the Lake Lillian restoration project, and we were told that the House, the Senate had about $30 to $40 million in their budget in total for water projects. The House has $100 million in its budget for water projects, so hopefully at least our $400,000 will translate over to the House budget also, and it'll get through the line item veto process. We've, of course, lost a few projects over the years in the governor's veto, so that was the good news coming out. We had some good conversations about quiet zones and some of the legislative issues, such as red light cameras and others, but so far, that's the one piece of good news is the $400,000 in the Senate budget.
Thank you.
Great. Any other questions of the city attorney? Commissioner Cooper?
Randy, we had talked a few meetings back about a resolution in support of pension reform. Will that be coming forward soon?
I'd be glad to bring that forward at the next meeting, if it's the commission's will.
Yeah, I think we voted for that, so thank you.
Anything else? City Attorney, anything for Mr. Brown?
Thank you, Mayor. The 11th Circuit Court of Appeals ruled last week in the Bell case. That was your picketing ordinance case, and I sent that decision to each of you. Just briefly, the court approved of the picketing ordinance that we drafted in response to disturbances right outside of a person's home. The court recognized, and I would say the court ruled rather quickly because the oral argument was on March 5th, and so they issued a fairly lengthy ruling before the end of the month, which is unusual in my experience. The court found that the 50-foot buffer around a private residence is a content-neutral regulation designed to protect everyone and provide everyone with sanctity and security in their homes, and it was enabled. The ordinance was enabled by the prior Supreme Court decision in Frisbee v. Schultz. They mentioned all that. They then, since they were in the neighborhood, took a look at our loitering ordinance, and even though that wasn't the issue in the case, since 1960, the city's loitering ordinance has provided that a homeowner or property owner could post a no loitering sign and that the police may enforce the loitering law on public right-of-way adjacent to or abutting the private residence. They didn't like that, so that we're going to come back to you with a proposed amendment to change that. But in the issue that was actually presented, we prevailed. Thank you.
May I ask how the loitering ordinance, how would they look at that?
Well, because when we drafted 62-79, we said all other laws of the city of Winter Park remain in place. So, for example, I wanted to make it clear that just because we were prohibiting picketing within a 50-foot buffer, we were likewise going to continue to prohibit littering, assault, battery, vandalism, obstruction of sidewalks, loitering. So we listed a variety of
so
laws.
So did they look at all of our ordinances around that? Or?
Well, they looked at all the laws that we mentioned that would be remaining in full force and effect, and they stopped when they hit the loitering one, and they said that that was vague and ambiguous and needed to be corrected. But that wasn't, as you recall from the facts of the case, the Bell case was a facial challenge to the picketing ordinance. So I believe that on the substantial issue in litigation, we prevailed. But we do have to amend our loitering ordinance to comport with what they, I think, correctly identified as a problem.
Can their decision be appealed? Or?
Yes, sir. They are the intermediate appellate court to the U.S. Supreme Court. So based on our prior experience with this plaintiff's law firm, they will probably petition for writ of certiorari to the Supreme Court. The odds are slim that the Supreme Court will accept that. I mean, very, very few get granted. But yes, I expect they will try to get the Supreme Court to confer discretionary jurisdiction.
Great. Other questions, Mr. Barron?
Just one.
Commissioner Mack.
Max Media.
I'm glad you mentioned all parties have reached an agreement except for the two landowners, but they are very close. I'm available to give each of you individual briefings if you want to call or email me. We're very, very close. I believe that the two property owners are right about there, and so the deal will be finalized in accordance with the previous direction in executive session. And I'll report at the next meeting. I think we should have some movement by the next commission meeting.
Thank you.
Other questions?
Nothing else, Mr. Mayor.
I'm going to move on then. There are no non-action items. Citizen comments will take near the 5 o'clock hour or at the end of the meeting, whichever comes first. We will move to the consent agenda, the will of the commission on this matter.
I'd move for approval.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Commission discussion. Hearing none, open the floor for public comment. If any citizens wish to speak to us about any matters that are on the consent agenda. Seeing none, I'll close the floor for public comment. You already vote?
Yes, sir.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? That passes. Thank you. Item 11A, request to donate. I guess there's nothing for you to read here, Mr. Brown. I don't know if staff or...
Oh, we have Dory coming up.
Dory's coming up
to
present this to us. Thank you. Yes, go slowly, please, Dory. We need both of your feet in the game. So.
Both my knees. Oh, goodness. This is a request that the city donate a piece of property located at 663 Simons Avenue to the Wounded Warrior Project. The Hannibal Square Community Land Trust has a wounded veteran who is in our audience today, Sergeant Sambu, who they have partnered with to provide a house here in Winter Park. This property was bought by the city for the purposes of affordable housing. The house is going to be donated by the Palm Harbor Homes, which is currently providing the homes on the HSCLT property on New England. We feel that this is an appropriate use for this particular piece of property, and we recommend approval of it. If you do go forward with it, you will see an ordinance that transfers this property to the HSCLT as required by our code, but this is the first step. So we would ask for your approval of this item.
Dory, technically it's to the Hannibal Square Land Trust. I mean the
transition will be to the Hannibal
the
Square Land Trust, and then it will go
that.
To and then the, it will go to the property owner directly. I don't know if the gentleman intends to own the property.
The land, I think, stays in the trust.
It stays in the trust.
Memory
yes.
serves me. And again, I'm fully supportive of this and certainly want a home for Sergeant Sam, but that's going to be great. This is similar to what we have done in other previous transactions with the land trust, I'm assuming.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that's what I was just trying to check. And then I'm assuming that the homeowner follows whatever the policies or whatever are of the land trust. Is that,
yes.
by us doing that, that will continue in that same way?
Yes, it will.
Great. Will the commission on this matter?
I move for approval.
Thank you, Commissioner Mackin. Is there a second?
Second.
Commission discussion.
Dory, are the homes that we've just previously approved, I believe it's four or five homes on Denning and
New England.
New England. Are those occupied, or do they have, I'm not sure how that works, are they preoccupied, or
I know they're under construction. I don't know how many have closed. Denise Weathers, who's the executive director for the HSCLT, is in the audience. She might be able to answer that. They did bring in a site plan and received site plan approval for those five homes, so I do know that those homes are permitted for construction at this
point. So we have five, basically, that we've handed over to the Historic Land Trust, or we've handed over the land to the Historic Land Trust, and as far as you know, they're not occupied yet, but we're now allocating a sixth piece of property.
I don't know whether those homes have closed or not, Commissioner.
Okay. And then the other question I have. I looked at some of the homes that are on Simons. And those seem to have some... I know that one of the selling points years ago when this was all discussed were trying to add some architectural value to the area. And I think those on Simons certainly meet that. I think we're going backwards by putting manufactured homes in there, pouring a slab and bolting them down from what were custom-designed homes in the future or in the past. So I'm a little concerned there because, again, I know one of the goals of the Historic Land Trust was to do that.
We will work with the Land Trust as we work with them on the New England piece to make those homes compatible with the surrounding village quality of mm-hmm. the Hannibal Square area. And where we can do that and yet still meet the needs of Sergeant Sambu with regard to his special needs, we will, as staff, work with them as they go through the permitting process to make those things happen.
And I'm supportive of supporting our wounded warriors. I guess my concern is that going to the Historic Land Trust if we wanted to do this as a city, we could have always just given the land directly to Sergeant Sambu.
We could have, but, you know, there is an outreach approach that we don't know about. And in this case, we have certain lots that the city has purchased over the years to be designated for affordable housing. These lots have gone to the Hannibal Square Community Land Trust. They've gone to Habitat for Humanity. And we've worked closely with those organizations. This is a case where this was a great opportunity of somebody bringing a request forward to us that we would not normally know about.
I'm just a little concerned, too, though, because as this was described to me not too long ago, this was originally set to be workforce housing. Now,
the project has always been designated, I'm sorry, the lot has always been designated as an affordable housing unit.
But now, I think originally when it was brought up 15 years ago or so, the workforce housing was discussed. So I'm just not sure. And if architectural significance was also supposed to be part of it, I'm just a little fuzzy on where we're going with this. As I said, I'm supportive of helping this gentleman and providing a home, but I don't like where we're heading. It seems like we're kind of making adjustments as we go, as this gets further down the track. So I'm supportive of this motion, but overall I think we're getting into an area with the Historic Land Trust that I'm getting a little uneasy with.
Yes.
Thank you.
Commissioner Sprinkle.
My question is primarily along the lines of where do we stand for the future with the land trust? In other words, how many more lots are out there? How many do they have access to? I would just like, instead of, we got a nice invitation from Denise to come and see that, but I'd like to have some kind of a presentation that gives us the whole picture. And I'm not sure if that needs to come to all of us or to just me because I'm interested, but I'd like to see that whole plan.
I'm happy to provide you with what they've done to date and the background to that, as well as with regard to our memorandum of understanding with the Hannibal Square Community Land Trust and how we have tabulated that. With regard to the residential piece of that,
right.
we are done with regard to the city's land acquisition and obligation to the land trust with regard to the residential piece.
So there are no more lots that city has
not designated under our current agreement.
No more lots that we've designated.
No more that we've designated.
That doesn't mean the commission could not in the future donate a different lot.
But this one was designated.
No, ma'am, it wasn't. It was designated. It was bought for affordable housing. The HSCLT is asking for this piece of property for an affordable housing.
We have the affordable housing linkage fee that generates the revenues. And so this property was bought with those funds. So it was designated for affordable housing, not necessarily for the HSCLT, but they've asked for it.
And again, and I'll be bringing this up later when we start talking about our fees this year, but
as all the studies that you guys have provided to the commission, we are certainly doing our part in this city from an affordable housing standpoint for the region. I think we are probably overweighted for the region. So we can talk about this again as we talk about the fees, the upcoming fees and the linkage fee, but I just think there needs to be, we need to get some kind of clarity on it.
Commissioner, with regard to that, this is in addition to what the city worked with the HSCLT in 2007 to give them an additional piece of property.
That's what I was not clear about when I first read it, and so I think that's what we needed to know. I wasn't sure if this was more or if it was, you know, the same one we had already agreed upon, and there was language that made me think we had already agreed to it, so that was what I'd like to know.
I apologize for that misunderstanding. It was an addition. This is an addition to the land that we've given them.
Dory, I would agree. Commissioner Cooper. Thank you. I would agree with Commissioner Sprinkle. I also would like a briefing on the overall affordable housing program, because from my perspective, it's not the Hannibal Square Historic Land Trust. It's not Habitat for Humanity. It was the recent unplanned injection of 110 affordable housing units that were put on the west side of Metro Park. When you look at that in addition to our historic commitment, then we're starting to get into some very large numbers. And my concern is making sure that we continue to meet the needs of our community, but also to maintain value within the community. So I would very much like to have an overall briefing of where we're going with affordable housing in total. I know we have a 5% of new housing commitment to affordable housing, and I imagine we have well exceeded that with the recent addition of the senior housing. So I would like to see the total picture. And it's not the housing trust. It's not the issue. So I'd like to see the whole picture.
We can certainly bring that forward.
Well, I also think a critical piece of that is the private market. I mean, there are homes that you can see that have transacted for less than some of these, the way these homes are being offered. So with a little fix-up, I don't want to compete with the private market. I don't believe that's what government's in place to do. So I think we have folks out there who are willing to sell these homes or rent them out. That can fulfill this need too without the government stepping in and buying land and putting all the citizens on the hook for it.
Great. Lots of questions, comments? Will the commission on this matter?
I think there was a motion
and
a second on this one.
Was there?
I motioned.
Thank you, Commissioner McMackin. So sorry.
Yes.
M&M's on board here. And great. Any further commission discussion?
Mr. Mayor, I have one more question.
Yeah.
Do we need to allocate this? Back to the original question about the five homes and the Historic Land Trust.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know if Denise is, I don't want to put her on the spot, but I don't know if she can answer these questions and not under a 3-minute time. There are some questions about the Hannibal Trust.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners, and staff. One point of clarification for Commissioner Leary. When you mentioned the architectural style, the house that's on Simons, which is a modular, it is a two-story house, and it was put there permanently on a foundation by the Hannibal Square Community Land Trust. So we do have, within our opportunities to variate on the architectural style, stay in keeping with the character of the neighborhood, and that's why that two-story is there on Simons to keep in character of the neighborhood. So I understand what your concerns are about the architectural style, but I just wanted for the record that two-story house, which is very charming, which blends in beautifully with the style on Simons, does belong or had belonged to the Hannibal Square Community Land Trust. So we
I was also talking about the other, I think there's three down the dead end, down the cul-de-sac on Simons.
Yes, and that was an art and architecture project done solely in partnership by the city with art and architecture. So again, we do have we have opportunities to do a various styles of style to stay in keeping with the characters of our neighborhood. So I understand your concern.
Thank you.
So. Mayor Bradley.
The question was asked if five homes currently under construction have residents or owners?
Those five homes are still under construction. We do not have certificate of occupancy on any of them. We currently have three homeowners who are going through the qualification process, And until we get those three sold, we're not pulling the trigger on the other two. So we're being a good steward, making sure that what's already up there is owner-occupied, and all five, the intention is by the end of June, July, that all five of these houses will be completely owner-occupied.
So three under construction, and the other two haven't started.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So is it not possible to take the one that you're currently allocating for this project and put it on the fourth or fifth?
It isn't, because we already have the floor plans already for that particular site plan. And if you haven't noticed, Officer Sergeant First Class Sambo has special needs, and these particular houses will not fit his special needs because we've already predetermined the actual models to go into those other houses. So that's why this request for Simons to be able to tailor this house according to ADA building codes specifically to his needs. But the ones on New England Avenue cannot, because they've already been predetermined and already been designed by Palm Harbor Homes. So we cannot use, and that was our original plan, was to see if that would work for him to fit his needs. But unfortunately, it cannot, because he has special needs. So, yes?
I'm not sure that this question is for you or for staff, but it says here under the lot was acquired by the city using affordable housing funds and is restricted to development as an affordable home. So what that said to me was that we really didn't have any choice in this. Tell me how that works.
That's true. It has to go towards affordable housing. It didn't have to go to the Hannibal Square Community Land Trust. It could have gone to Habitat, or it could have gone to some other affordable housing program. It had to be used for affordable housing.
And what I want to know is how many more of those do we have out there? At some point,
we have
from
one
you,
more.
I
we have one more. Justice, we have one more affordable housing lot that we were purchased, and we still have affordable housing linkage fee money.
And we could purchase more. Right. Okay, thank you.
Great.
Well, I would just tell you this too. I've seen having a foot in this business with the modular manufactured home business. I've seen Palm Harbor, I've seen customized homes that Palm Harbor does at their factory down south, mm-hmm. for special needs people, mm-hmm. Whether it is smaller counters to get around. Mm-hmm. I've seen that. So that can be done, given the footprint that is on New England.
It is correct. But these particular models they've already designed them. They're ready to go into production already. And we had not identified any one of these houses specifically for Sergeant First Class Sambo. So again, we had taken that into consideration, and that was not part of our existing plan to allocate one of those houses for the officer.
So it's not part of it, but it could be.
It could be, but it isn't part of the original.
Because again, you don't have a contract on any of these homes just yet. So even by the time you get these contracts, get cash in hand to afford you moving forward with the other two, you can take the time to redesign the house or come up with a different design with Palm Harbor and place
and
one there.
It's the square footage also that Officer Sambo needs, that these particular units will not accommodate because of his extended family and the help that he's going to need by bringing in the remainder of his family to come in and support him.
What's the difference in the square footage from the size?
The largest one we have over here is 1,300 square feet.
And what is this size?
And then the size that we're projecting to put for his is approximately 1,700 square feet plus. The lots on New England Avenue will not allow for a carport, mm-hmm. or even a garage. So, and whereas the lot on Simons will allow the rear carport or garage to accommodate him. And then these New England Avenue does not have rear yards, so.
Okay, thank you.
Denise, you were kind of answering questions. You didn't need to do that. I appreciate that. Did you want 3 minutes to talk about this project?
No.
Or you don't need to?
I think everything was explained in the presentation to you that you have in your package. And if I've missed anything, I'm sure you guys will certainly contact me.
Appreciate you opening.
Thank you.
Being willing to speak about that.
Thank
I'm
going
to open up for public comment then. Any citizens wishing to speak to us about this matter? Seeing none, I'll close the floor for public comment. Any further commission discussion?
No, sir.
I guess the only thing I would say is that I know Dory, Dory. Don't need to get up. Just stay.
You might pull something if you stand up, Dory.
I know we looked at this a while ago from affordable housing. I'm going to vote for this, and I'm supportive of this. I think just keeping the commission up to date on some annual basis about the needs for affordable housing and how that works is probably important, so hopefully we can get that update maybe at a work session or something coming forward.
Well, I was going to say, we have our planning session coming up. If we,
yeah.
could, if we could throw
yeah, I don't know if where the agenda fits, if it fits there or not.
Just as a quick update.
Some sort of an annual report, I think, to the Commission on Affordable Housing would be helpful to us. It is something that this Commission's interested in. It's something that, to the CRA and others, we have kind of, I guess, shepherded.
Yes.
Not just this Commission, but previous commissions, and I think, you know, to know that maybe our shepherding, you know, might not need to continue is a good thing. I mean, because maybe the market takes care of it, and maybe we did the nudge that is necessary, that actually might be something to celebrate instead of something to be concerned about. Thank you. Any other commission discussion?
Yes, sir.
I'll ask the clerk to read the roll.
Commissioner Leary?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMackin?
Yes.
Mayor Bradley?
Yes. Okay. Ms. Brown, ordinance on second reading, item 12A. I think we can do these before 5, can't we?
I hope so. I hope so.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you, Mayor. An ordinance of the City of Winter Park, Florida, vacating and abandoning the easement located at 2020 West Fawcett Road, Winter Park, Florida, more particularly described here, and providing an effective date.
Will the Commission on this matter
move to approve?
Thank you. Second?
Second.
Thank you. Further Commission discussion? I'll open the floor for public comment. Any citizens wishing to speak to us about this matter? Seeing none, I'll close the floor for public comment. You already vote. Clerk will read the roll.
Commissioner Leary?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMackin?
Yes.
Mayor Bradley?
Yes. Ms. Brown, an ordinance item 12B on second reading.
Yes, Mayor. An ordinance of the City of Winter Park, Florida, authorizing the conveyance of the city-owned property described as the south 34 feet of 321 Hannibal Square West, Winter Park, Florida, in exchange for the property located at 325 South Pennsylvania Avenue, subject to minimum requirements as set forth herein, providing for conflicts and an effective date.
I'll move it.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Commission discussion? Hearing none, I'll open the floor for public comment. Any citizens wishing to speak to us about this matter are welcome to. Seeing none, I'll close the floor for public comment. You all ready to vote? Clerk will read the roll.
Commissioner Leary?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMackin?
Yes.
Mayor Bradley?
Yes. Request of Lakeside Winter Park LLC. Mr. Riggs.
As you said, this is a request for the Lakeside Project to amend their conditional use and also their development agreement to add some off-site parking to accommodate a change to the development plan in the southeast corner of the site to exchange the 4,500 square foot office or retail building for a 7,000 square foot medical, which will be Blue Cross Blue Shield, sort of like a CentraCare facility. You all remember this when it was on the agenda a few weeks ago. It had come to you with a recommendation for denial from P&Z at that time because it was a parking variance of about 18 spaces. So the applicant withdrew the request here at City Commission and went and found a site just down the street on the corner of Fairview and Orlando Avenue, which is about 500 feet, actually about 487 to be exact, from the subject property. And so there is a variance required for this request because the code talks about parking being within 300 feet. They are able to meet the number of spaces. This is a conceptual plan that was in your packet in terms of meeting the 21 or 22 off-site spaces that are required on that property. The variance is the distance away. At P&Z, who was really the inspiration for this, because P&Z at their very first meeting when they recommended denial said, well, if you go find some off-site parking, come back. They did recommend approval. They saw the benefit in the project, and part of that is to get rid of this motel structure that's on this corner that doesn't lend anything to the aesthetics of the Orlando Avenue corridor. The plan that you see, the layout probably isn't the most efficient. They certainly could do 90-degree parking with the width they have, and I bring that up because we also would not need, in that case, to do the driveway out onto Orlando Avenue. So if we want to make this the best-looking lot possible, certainly that switch, and then do a little wing wall like they did at Four Rivers, along with the landscaping up front, would definitely make it more attractive. Have talked to the general counsel for Hillstone, who owns the property directly to the north. They use that for overflow parking for their employees, primarily the night shift. They have another piece right across from Hillstone that they also use.
Could you, I drove by that today, could you identify that by any chance on that, what Hillstone uses? Is it the property, is it blue number 8 and 9?
Hillstone rents 8 and 9.
8 and 9. So there's, I just noticed that today, and maybe this is immaterial to the conversation, I can talk offline, but it's just a gravel lot today?
It's just a gravel lot, yeah. And they used to lease this piece as well.
Which is dirt,
which
gravel.
Which is green, yeah. And they... But they, and so they don't want to put any money into it, but they did just recently purchase it within the last year. So I talked to the general counsel and told him that, look, if this property next door is going to get fixed up, so is yours, and they are willing to pave and improve their lot as well.
Thank you. Now they're in the I'm just concerned. I know we have one next to City Hall that's the same way, and I know we have a gravel temporary lot, too, which we're fixing, but I love the concept of people getting parking, but if you're going to use it permanently, I don't know that it should look like your backyard. By the way, there's a home on that site, at least on 8 and 9?
Yes.
So, this is immaterial. I'm just trying to figure out under what auspices that they got approval to park on 8 and 9.
Well, 8 and 9 are zoned office, although they, you know, the home's been there forever.
So the home is like
an office.
They rent
it out. Okay. And have space, obviously, for the one or two cars that people who live there use.
Thank you, Joe. Continue, please.
You do have a positive staff recommendation. This is a conceptual plan. Certainly, if you wanted to see the final plan of the parking lot come back before you or wanted it to come back to P&Z, make sure it was a super job, and it's certainly in your ability to require that. Otherwise, I'll see what questions you have, and the applicant is here as well.
Questions of staff?
Jeff, a wall and landscaping, I believe, was a requirement of P&Z, even with this conceptual plan.
I'm going to let the applicant address that. He talked about doing wing walls around the entrance to make it attractive, and I'll not put words in his mouth in terms of.
You mean it was not part of the approval from P&Z?
Speak, but as part of the representations that they would do a little attractive screen wall in addition to landscaping. But
so other questions of staff, and then we'll bring the applicant up if he chooses to speak.
My question was, I walked that, and it seems like a really long way for people to walk, was what I found out in walking it. And so, and doing this and going by Beach View Avenue, I've seen cars parked on Beach View Avenue quite a bit. And so my big question is, how are you going to make people go down there and park? Because it's a long way to go. And how are you going to keep them off of Beach View Avenue of parking? Because that's a long way to go. That's what I found out when I walked it. So what did you all do at P&Z that made them think that was going to be okay?
Well, you know, P&Z thought if 300 feet was a reasonable distance, they just didn't perceive, and staff didn't perceive, that the extra 200 feet was going to be onerous to the employees who were going to be directed to either park there or you don't have a job. So that's the way they saw it.
I think that's been said on Park Avenue, too, and we continue to have problems with Park Avenue merchants saying they can't really, you know, they struggle with getting their people to park far away. I have issues with this because I think as we look we have a TAPS panel that we've currently just engaged to try to figure out what to do with 1792. And I would bet the first thing they come back with would not be a parking lot. So as we're trying to figure out what to do with 1792, I have major agita trying to push a parking lot there. As well, that site, we had originally, what, a 4,000 square foot building? Now we're talking about a 7,500 square foot building. And we've got Trader Joe's, which if you read any of the news reports about what happens in the state of Florida when Trader Joe's opens, that's going to be a nightmare, that center. So I've got major problems with this. I think we're trying to accommodate, and I appreciate the effort that the developers made to try to find additional parking, but it's too far away from me, and we're going to create a major issue at that intersection, especially as we look at the Mount Vernon across the street, possibly redeveloping. That intersection is going to be a mess, and it's going to be a mess for generations if we don't address this properly. And having a 500-foot property line to property line, that's not 500 feet from parking space to front door of where they're going to be walking, is a major issue for me.
May I ask
Commissioner Sprinkles? Sure.
When we did the deal with Rollins for the Alphon Inn, and we actually put that in place, The reason I see that working is they got a lot of people out there parking those cars. In fact, I just about can't go to the Alphon without having to have somebody park my car. So I know that that was an exception we made, and I know that it was closer, and I know that what they've done now is they have a parking system in place that has not created a parking problem there. I mean, you got to pay to park, but that's part of the system. So I see that. I see it all every day because I go by there a couple times a day. So I'm trying to figure out how that would work here, because that's where I was having an issue. Is after I went out and walked it, I kept thinking, where could I stop quicker? That would be me. And I bet that I'm not different than a lot of people out there. So was there anything that nobody at PNZ was concerned about that distance, almost double?
No, they weren't, but you know, okay. The applicant will need to persuade okay. you.
I'm not sure the issue is it's for employees. I mean, I think that's the only, I don't want to say saving grace of this, but
I think there are people at PNZ who had problems with that. I've talked to one or two who had problems, but they appreciated that. And again, it's all their hand, but their concern.
Did you have other questions of staff?
I do not, sir.
Applicant wants to speak to us? You're welcome to.
Good evening, Chuck Woodall, Unicorp National Developments. And first, congratulations on your re-elections. Okay, so to start, I parked 800 foot away to walk to here tonight. And I was on Park Avenue a few weeks ago, and I think I had to park about 1,000 foot away to go to one of the businesses. So I think it's kind of common for a little bit of a walk in where I park. To give you an example, I came here last week to measure from the front door of City Hall. And where is 500 foot end? There's a little yogurt shop right over here in the corner. And from the front door of City Hall to the yogurt shop is 500 foot. From the front door of City Hall to Burger Fi is about 900 feet. So to give you a little bit of perspective of the distance. And our plan with this property is, as Jeff mentioned, the property is an eyesore property in Winter Park. And we're paying $1 million for that motel. And the guy's not willing to get off that price. So it's an opportunity for us to buy it and get rid of something in Winter Park that I think would be very good to get rid of. And what our plans are in the future is, you mentioned, we're looking at a redevelopment of other property at this intersection. And at that point in time when that redevelopment were to occur, we would be able to move, the way our lease is structured, we could relocate this employee parking closer to right at the intersection. So, you know, we've actually drawn a plan, which I could show you, but that in the future we would put a building on this property that's about 3,000 square foot and would park the building that's 3,000 square foot. So eventually, moving a couple of years in advance, a year and a half in advance if everything goes our way, we would redevelop this property with a building against the road, an urban-like structure, and with parking behind it, which I think would fall into the long-term vision of the City of Winter Park. But right now, our plans are to build a couple-foot-tall wing wall along the road with landscaping and brick. It would be a brick parking lot, and the spaces are marked with white brick. So we don't want to really put in asphalt. And it would be temporary parking for the employees of Blue Cross Blue Shield. Commissioner Lear, you mentioned about Trader Joe's, and you're right. They will be extremely successful in the beginning, and we'll have officers out there to control the parking. And then it will taper off to be a normal business like most of them have around the country. But the one thing we haven't gotten any credit for in this development at all is that it is a mixed-use development, that we do have a restaurant. We do have Scott Trade, which is a daytime use. We do have nail salons. We do have hair salons and things that have different hours. Blue Cross Blue Shield is open Monday through Friday till 7 o'clock at night and till 4 o'clock on the weekend. We were also put a more onerous parking code on Blue Cross Blue Shield, even though they consider themselves a retail medical use. It's not a quote-unquote office use. It's where you go in if you broke your arm, if you had a heart attack, if you had a problem like that. So it is sporadic business. It's not a professional office space, which I think we're tied to a higher parking standard, I think about 25% higher parking standard that we're accommodating. And our lease structured with Blue Cross Blue Shield is that the employees would park on this. And that gives us the ability that if a customer, I agree with you, Commissioner Sprinkle, customers are going to find the closest, most convenient parking, but the employees are directed to park there. And so I think we've got, you know, that solved with that. The building is actually only 2,500 square foot bigger than the last one. It's 4,500 is what we're approved for. This building is 7,000 foot. So we would have been required about 10 more spaces. We're providing about 22 spaces. And so if we have extra spaces there, we can require some of the other tenants to have their employees park there as well. So I think looking at it in whole, the Blue Cross Blue Shield is a building that we can finish with the project, which I think is a win-win, so we finish the front door with it. They're a great neighbor in our community to have there. It will be used for employee parking. We're going to get rid of a motel that we're overpriced paying for that we can replace with a future use as the redevelopment corridor Winter Park proceeds forward. And I just think it works. And the walk is something that anybody who lives in Winter Park is used to. If you park anywhere on Park Avenue and go to any business, and if you're lucky enough to park on Park Avenue, not having to park behind Park Avenue and walk 500 feet just to get to the front. So it's really not that long of a walk, and I would ask for your support on this. Any questions?
Maybe if Jeff could join you, because the motion as made or approved by Planning and Zoning was to approve the request as recommended by staff. So what I'm confused by at this point is, was that just what was the staff recommendation that was approved by P&Z specifically? So did that include what has become, I guess, our residential parking lot standard or not? And this is not technically residential, but it's darn close to it.
Well, you have to amend the development agreement afterwards, and so that was the staff recommendation approval, subject to doing the development agreement following if it's approved.
So I mean, let me be very direct with my question. Will this be walled, both either with landscaping or with a hard wall like we've done in other parking lots, or is this
unless
that part of staff's recommendation that the P&Z approved?
All they have to do, outside of the representations made tonight about they're going to have wing walls, is meet whatever the code is for parking lots. If you want to make sure they do something nicer and above and beyond, then we need to condition it on bringing the plan back.
Chuck, is this gated? Will this be gated?
Gated? No, it's not gated.
How will you avoid having your neighbors park in your lot?
Aside from policing the lot, we can put signs in the lot if we have an issue saying parking for such and such, others will be towed. Really the point of this parking lot is for employee parking for our project. And trying to prevent having to come back through the process again, I would represent, and I don't know if you can add it as a condition, that along 1792, where it's acceptable to us to put a 2-foot tall landscape wall with landscaping and a decorative type entrance with, you know, kind of curved walls to lead you into the project. I mean, we want the front door of it to look nice, so we don't have any issue with that. I would hope we would not have to go back through the process to add that as a condition to it.
Thank you. That would help. I know that we've done some things along Fairbanks with some of our car parking lots for car sales, which this is obviously not going to be a retail spot, but I have to admit, it looks aesthetically a lot better.
Well, we want it to look nice, and our long-term plan, like I said, is to redevelop it.
Yeah. Are there questions of the applicant? You're certainly welcome to make any other comments or presentation if you want to.
I really don't. I just think I would reiterate once again that the only way I would ever be compelled to pay this amount of money for a piece of property is that it solves a problem we have at our project. But I've met with the individual who owns that property, and we'll find it very likely that that property will, economically, it does not stand on its own. In support of our larger project, we're making it work. But I think it's a way forward that that project gets redeveloped, and it's a good way into the future. But I think if not, it'll sit like that a long time. So I think you kind of kill two birds with one stone here.
Thank you. Other questions, Chuck? Or if you have any other comments, I want to make sure you have plenty of time to present.
Yes, Commissioner.
Do I understand that the parking is for the medical facility staff?
Yes, ma'am.
And there are 20 anticipated staff members?
No, there's, I think there's about 14 or 15 staff members, so there would be a few extra spaces. That's why I said we might be able to use them for some of the other businesses. And they're also closed during the, you know, like the peak times at Trader Joe's, they're closed.
So that will be in our development agreement, and it'll be in your lease with your tenants?
It's in our lease with our tenant, and the way our developer's agreement would read is that we would provide that parking. It would be provided unless we replaced it elsewhere near, closer to what's currently there.
And then
there.
If you replaced it elsewhere, it would be across on the other side of 1792?
In closer proximity, yes.
And there's no way to get to this parking lot without going out onto 1792, right?
Well, just the sidewalk running across the front.
But there's no vehicle access in the back.
But the opportunity to leverage this piece of property is something that you're talking about in the future. I mean,
That's presumptive. Yeah. I mean, but, you know, it's something we're working on, and if you adopt these codes coming forward, I believe that opportunity is going to avail itself.
Well, we've had, and again, I don't want to get into it with you, Chuck, but I think that, you know, we've had so many things presented to us right now from the Mount Vernon that this commission is not even come close to supporting. So I don't know. You're right. It's presumptive because we don't even know what we're going to get.
You're right. You may not support any redevelopment plans that are substantive going forward on the Mount Vernon end, and maybe it stays in its current condition forever. And if it does, at least you got rid of a motel that I think, as Jeff said, it doesn't aesthetically add any value to the city of Winter Park. Because if you don't approve...
Sure, parking lot does a whole... I'm not sure anybody's looking at parking lots these days.
Pay by the hour motel or parking lot, you pick.
Or we let the market decide in a couple of years. Yeah. Thank you.
Jeff, a question of you, and I'm looking on my eye, whatever this is, because I'm trying to look at Google Earth.
Yeah.
I couldn't figure out how to get it on my iPad, so. What is on this site plan number 11? There's a beautiful brick building on the corner that says 4 units on our plan. Then what is 11? Is it just an empty lot?
11 is the empty lot that Hillstone is using for employee parking.
So they're using 11, but they're also using 8 and 9?
Yes.
Ken, would you like to see the property on the website, the aerial?
It might be helpful to me.
Isn't 8 and 9 where they do their parking for people, and don't they put them over there when they come in and valet them?
Primarily, it's employees over there.
You think that's employees?
Yeah.
6 is an architecture office, and then 5 and 1 go, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 is all residential. Am I correct? Nice homes right along the lake.
Behind them there, yeah.
And
CJ, 11 is also going to be part of Hillstone's reparking development?
It is. They have bought that property. They've been using it.
As well as 8 and 9. So, yeah. Whatever, and I know I don't want to be presumptive to vote, and I don't know what our ability is, Mr. Brown, to make something happen here or not happen, but I don't want to vote to make a beautiful parking lot on 10 and 11 still be a dirt road, which is what it is according to Google Earth, whatever you call it.
So
maybe it's not.
So I talked to General Counsel at Hillstone, and that's exactly what I told him. We weren't going to let them continue to have this dirt, unimproved lot once we had a beautiful, nice parking lot next door. He said, now that we own it, we're willing to put forth the money to pave and improve it and make it look nice. We weren't willing to do it before when we were just leasing it. Now that we own it, we will do that.
So Mr. Brown, this is kind of like, I mean, I don't want to mix issues because it's a totally different issue. This is kind of like the Supreme or your appeal court that started to look at a different ordinance. So you can just tell me I'm out of order to bring this up, but I don't know at what point we can compel. We can't compel this applicant to do it, but we can't compel
I don't know how we can compel Hillstone or anybody else to go do this, but except to say, wouldn't it be nice?
I think we'd be looking at it. It's a code violation. They're using it.
They're a parking lot. It's not developed. They're a parking lot, and they have to pave and improve it if they're regularly using it.
So we have a parking lot directly behind City Hall that's in the same situation.
Different issue, and hopefully the owner will.
But it seems like that's a code violation, too, at least from ultimately where we sit.
I think the owner's going to work expeditiously to improve that condition.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. That's helpful. Commissioner Cooper?
Yes. Jeff, I think to me the more important problem is if Hillstone sees the need to have lot number 8 and 9 and lot number 11 as parking for the Hillstone restaurant, if you were to simply look at our code and then you looked at the number of parking places in those lots plus their lot, are they exceeding the code with their parking? Hillstone?
Well, there are two things. First of all, we historically had a one space for every four seat restaurant criteria. And so we have discovered with popular restaurants like Hillstone, one for four isn't enough.
Right.
We changed the code going forward in 2009 to one per three. When you have a really successful restaurant like Hillstone with the level of employees that you have inside there, which is almost one per table, they have the need for parking above and beyond the code and have.
But what I'm asking you is, does their existing parking exceed one per three or one per four?
Their existing parking on site met the one per four.
Okay, so all this extra is what they believe the market has driven them to
need. They found out within the first year of operating that they needed to find another place for employees, and they needed to find a place at the peak when they ran out of valet spaces, a peak place to put the valet need.
Because I just know from experience-wise, I've gone down to Delagio numerous times to try to get a feel for how the parking works. And the cars are parked up under arches. They're parked up on the sidewalks. I don't want to create that for Winter Park. So for me, I was already concerned about the neighbors next door at the condominium, how we were going to keep people from finding that, because that is indeed the closest place to park. I don't know if we could have done something to help them in the way of a gate or something, but to further that parking issue by putting parking this far away, I'm not real comfortable with that.
Well, they can certainly gate it. Can I ask you a question, Jeff? Yeah, Commissioner Mackin, certainly. The current Lakeside Project site, without this 4,000 or 7,000 square foot building, was in our parking codes as is? Irregardless of whether Trader Joe's or Trader Betty Lou's goes in it.
What's being built out there meets
it's in our codes.
Meets our code perfectly. No variance.
The 4,000?
The 4,500 is within.
Was within our code?
Yes.
The 7,000 was not, especially since it's medical in 7,000.
Yes. Right. They need more, plus they were losing five spaces with the bigger building.
You've helped me. Commissioner McMackin?
And this is a comment for the applicant. Chuck, would a single entry point off of Fairview work and not have one off of 1792? And to my commission members, I'm thinking of that as we go forward. Steve, I share your thing. I'm looking at this parking lot, if we were to approve it, as I will be there for a while, depending on what happens across the street. And you're right, there's been proposals from numerous individuals or entities that we've not approved.
Right.
We also have the scenario of a parking lot that's going to occur right next to it with the Houstons, which
maybe.
I still call it Houston. Well, I think they're going to come in and they're parking there now, and the deal is going to be that they're going to need to improve it to
but
whatever.
But it's a code violation.
It's a...
Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Hillstone's has his code violation.
They're going to have to do something there. Anyway, so we're going to have parking at that location. So my concern is the image that we have along 1792. As a parking lot. And one of the images that I don't like about that is seeing a driveway for both of these coming in off of 792, I would rather see, much like we did for Jewett, where we did the landscaping across their parking lot, and yes, the parking lot, but we applied a certain level of landscaping and said there's no entries off of 1792. They can access both those lots off of Fairview, and you at least have a stretch of green across there because there's another parking lot. I don't want, you know, I'm not wild about it.
Let me start another scenario.
Let me just finish where I'm, and then I'm with you. I agree. I walk farther from my, where I park in the morning to go to my car downtown Orlando. I walk farther than this to go from my parking garage to my place of work. So the traffic, the foot traffic doesn't bother me. I think by adding spaces, we're in some small way alleviating some of the pressure that may be on the adjoining condominiums. We're never going to, they're going to have to, in a sense, police themselves because there's nothing I think the city can do to step in and police that for them. There's a way to do that. I want to hear, I hear that this is for employees. May or may not, you know, I don't know if all 18 employees are there simultaneously if they're in shifts or whatnot. As long as it's designated and the applicant in some way polices that so it doesn't become parking for another restaurant down the street in another direction or just public parking in general. I think it's got to be specific to Lakeview. I'm not told. I think if it's structured right, I'm not adverse to it. It's not the first thing on my list, but
Tom, if this was zoned parking, I'd be with you. Let's have these coordinate to figure out what the best parking situation for the area is. But I mean, there's another scenario here, which is another developer comes in, purchases the house that Hillstone is currently in code violation of and using as a parking lot. Hillstone, or they buy this motel, and they buy something else, and they actually create something nice there on the corner that may coincide with what we're looking for from our TAPS panel. Rather than approving now what we're talking about, or your proposal could possibly be more parking lots. And I just don't know if, I don't think I want parking lots over there. I'd rather see something that that the community needs rather than what a single developer needs because he's moving from 4,500 square feet to 7,000 square feet. I don't think that's our responsibility to find parking for him and possibly interrupt what could happen naturally with that little area.
Again, I think I'll go back a few things and we'll talk about and why I look at that differently, Steve, perhaps, is as we went through the scenario with the with CNL and with the driver's license site. You know, in my mind, if we could have gotten all the parties together in the same room with a bottle of scotch and some cigars, we may have been able to hash something out. We may not have. We may have had one and one equal three. And instead, we have two different developments that have their own, and it's there. And so I'm not sure I can hold up this saying that, gee, someday somebody may come in and buy the Houston site where they are parking right now. They may not. I mean, to them, that is extremely valuable to have parking that, by virtue of their success.
Sure.
That's, you know, if that one were to go away, they'd have to find parking somewhere else. And so I'm not opposed to it. I think if it's structured and it's screened and it's done properly, because we're going to have the same conversation when Hillstone comes in and says we're in code violation, we're going to want to see something other than our parking lot code in that spot, because basically our parking lot code is not the most overwhelming that I've come across. So if it's policed and it's screened, I'm kind of there.
Can I address this? Mr. McMackin's comment for a moment, if I could. On the Fairview parking, we're fine to have it limited to Fairview. And just to add a little food for thought on what you were talking about, Commissioner Leary, is that I agree with you. If you guys open up your code that allows for more aggressive development on 1792, well, we're already own a piece of that property. So obviously at that point it will make sense for us to team up with our neighbor at Hillstone and acquire the property, maybe build a structure or something there that would allow for redevelopment. If you don't allow anything, you're going to be stuck with what you have. So I really think it works that, you know, a very capable developer to see the opportunity that if your code changes, which will allow future opportunity, which I think would also apply to the Mount Vernon and across the street, would open up those development opportunities. And if that does open up, you can bet that I'm going to be spying the properties around us, figuring out how can I make a redevelopment opportunity. For us, it does not make sense to keep $1 million parking lot. That's what it is. It's $1 million parking lot. So the way I look at this is we're making this $1 million investment for the short-term future, knowing that there should probably be some changes that happen to the code, which will allow us to kind of fix the immediate vicinity problems, not only for us, but possibly for our neighbors. So we welcome that. I hope that opportunity does come about. And if it's totally shot down and you say, you know what, we don't want to do anything, we're not going to change Winter Park, we're going to leave it exactly the way it is, at least you got rid of something that's really not beneficial to the community. So I think it can be a win-win. I'm sorry.
Other commission comments? Well, let me call for the will of the commission on this matter, so then we open it for public comment. Citizens know if they're coming to speak to us. Will the commission on this matter?
For the point of discussion, I'm going to move for approval with the following condition: that there only be access to this parking lot off of Fairview Avenue. And Chuck, I'm going to have you come back because I'm going to want to see the screening and the landscaping that's proposed along Fairbanks, merely because we're going to have to apply that, in my mind, if we were to go further down to your neighbor next door to you at Hillstone and request that they do the same thing. So I'm going to request that the plan does come back for a final approval.
Is there a second? I'll second that. Commission discussion. I just kind of feel like what's proposed is better than what is there. I'm right where you are. To have a sea of parking lots along 1792 is not what I want. I don't know that that's particularly good design. And yet what we have there, I'm not even sure. It's listed as a motel. It didn't look like it was by the night. It looked like it was by the month. And I'm saying that politely. What? Jeff, is it being leased like an apartment, or do you know?
Yeah, pretty much construction workers on the
yeah. And not that they shouldn't have a home somewhere in Winter Park, but that those whole blocks seem kind of, I guess in a non-professional term, kind of a mishmash, Commissioner McMacken. There's two or three blocks and there's just a mishmash of you know, the project two item, what number is that? The one that says four units, that's a beautiful building, really. That's a very, very nice building. And then we have a dirt lot and then we have a 6 or 7 unit motel. It feels like we can do better, and I guess I'm a little worried about how 11 and 8 and 9 even were allowed to happen with something that, to me, Hillstones is one of the most beautiful pieces of property we have in Winter Park, both with the lake as well as their parking lots, beautiful, etc. 11, 8, and 9 is really not in keeping with what they have, so.
Mr. Mayor, I agree. I think we can do better than what's there. I just think we can also do better than a parking lot. And I think time will push that, and our task panel will give us some direction.
I don't disagree with you. I'm just trying to balance personally between the proverbial project in front of you versus the project to come. So I'm torn. I'm right there with you. The arguments you've made are very valid and very alarming. I'm not personally concerned about the distance. I think that's something we do need to push and probably test. But I also don't know that we want to see a parking lots from every project somewhere else that people are using. That's gotten us into different trouble. I mean, as we really look at our parking ordinances in the future, we probably need to look at more regional parking lots or something that more of what we've tried to do downtown. Again, the TAPS panel hopefully will make some advice on that.
So one of my concerns is that we have in our rules that we have, you know, 300 feet, and yet we keep going to 500. I don't care. Personally, I can walk, and if it's those people that are going to be sitting there that are going to be parked there all day, and we have something in there that enforces that, that's okay. But I have a problem with us continually changing it and stretching it and making the limit a little bit more, because it's like, well, yeah, that's 300, but we didn't really mean it. So if we don't really mean it, why isn't it already 500?
I concur with you. I think the 300, and maybe Mr. Knight or others could speak to how the 300 came into being. I mean, the 300, and probably our parking quotes today probably promote large parking lots in front of big box buildings. And
that's right.
That I don't know long term is what the best thing is to do either. But obviously, I think a majority of people believe we're underparked on Park Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
We're probably underparked in other parts of our community.
Yeah, we're not here.
And we're not here to debate all those things, even though it comes into play in our decision for each of these projects.
Mr. Mayor, the other problem I had with what came from P&Z is there was no requirement in there that I read that was specific. So I liked your what you asked for, Tom, which was I want to see it, because I can kind of go there, but I do want it to be sure that it doesn't look like the parking lot. And see, right now, coming off Fairview is great, but that means 11 is still coming off of 1792.
Well, I'm prepared to deal with 11 when 11.
Yeah, but we got to do something with 11 eventually, people.
Well, that's right. One of the reasons I requested that only the access off of Fairview, because yeah. I really want to get rid of that access on 11 off of there too. And Steve, I firmly believe that in time the market will resolve this.
Resolve the motel?
We'll resolve the parking. I mean, when you sit there and you say, okay, Hillstone has got three lots here they're parking on above and beyond the parking that they have. Those aren't always going to be parking lots, and I think in time someone's going to come in and put together this corner and do something with it in its entirety that may involve structured parking or something,
right?
Because it's to have three lots there that are pure parking for Hillstone and this. I mean, this whole, to the mayor's point, there's probably a larger parking question that someone will solve, and maybe TAFS will help us look at what is not necessarily the regional, but certainly an area-wide mm-hmm. parking solution for this. Because I to tell you the truth, I'm looking at it, that not the community center, but the Rachel Murray Center, and I'm sitting there going, there's a lot that's going to be filled with people going to Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
And my biggest concern is pedestrians crossing 1792.
Sure.
Because that is not a friendly pedestrian crossing location. So there's a whole other question I think we're going to have to deal with in that interim phase when Trader Joe's is magnificently successful. I'm thinking that it's going to take a while for the market to solve that.
Yeah.
And so in the interim, I want to make sure that this looks as good as it can in that interim, because I don't want to see a parking lot there forever.
Well, I think, Tom, the only thing I'd say to that is I know that as we look at redeveloping or possibly redevelopment along Fairbanks, and I think we talked about Denning.
Yeah.
When that came along, and we said, geez, if we had just talked about possibly extending the right-of-way a little further, we could have done
bigger sidewalks or something.
And here we are. We have a task panel about ready to take charge and say, here's what you guys should do. And I hate to kind of plop a parking lot in the middle of it and say, okay, we just approved the parking lot. I mean,
I think they're going to look at that, Steve, as they looked at,
But the parking lot's already there.
The parking lot's already there, but even as they looked at Fairbanks, there's a lot of things that are already there that CAP basically says when the time is right and when things happen, here's what you can do or could potentially do. And I don't think they're going to allow a parking lot here to sway what they're going to advise to us for 1792. They're going to say, in the future, this is going to be something other than a parking lot. Can potentially be something other than a parking lot.
Okay.
So that's just, again, I see this as an interim. It may be a number of years of an interim, but I see this as an interim solution, and so I wanted to.
The motel may be an interim solution too right now. It may not be there much longer by market trends anyway. So,
anyway, that's.
I guess as I look at this, is what's proposed is better than what's there. Now, that's maybe a very pragmatic view of the world, but it is a transition area. Jeff, I got a question for you, if you don't mind. I hate to make you go up and down all the time. The concept of gated here, putting a gate there, to me, would assure that it's going to be used for the purposes that we're putting it in for, versus, now Hillstone's employees think they can sneak in there, and I appreciate what the applicant's trying to do to police, but that gets very, very hard over time to say who's parking there, and towing doesn't make friendly neighbors at the end of the day. Do we have anything in our ordinances that require or permit or don't permit gating, do we? Or require that?
Well, we generally don't, because the parking lot has to serve both customers and employees, clients and employees. But where we only have an employee lot in this case, then it could be gated.
The challenge with that, though, too, if it's just on Fairview, you're going to start talking, if the employees are coming in and around at the same time, you're going to start talking about backing up as the gate goes up and down, too, which is going to impact not only traffic out to 1792, possibly, but the other homes and businesses on Fairview.
Point well taken. And probably it's not ours to worry about, but if this fills,
I like the idea, though.
If this fills because somebody, you know, it's noon and Hillstone's people go use it and find it,
yeah,
and eat there instead of use valet or whatever, you know, and then there's no parking at the, I don't want 20 cars driving around the neighborhood looking for parking either. So, I mean, to me, employees, I agree. We haven't done a good job in downtown yet. We need to do a better job in encouraging employees into parking in a very, you know, a specific designated place that will probably be more than 500 feet or 300 feet from their place of business. But
that's a requirement of this one, correct?
Well, I think that's the expectation. Obviously, you asking your employees who go there every single day to park further away than your customers is a lot easier than asking your customers to do that. So.
Well, we keep talking about the half of this request that talks about the parking, but we are contributing to that parking issue by approving an increase in the basic requested and approved project from 4,500 to 7,000 square feet.
Right.
So we are creating a parking problem. So for me, I don't want to go there. It's an isolated lot. To say that we're going to park on the west side of 1792 temporarily, and once we are able to do something with Mount Vernon, we're going to require those people to walk back and forth across 1792. That's not a comfortable situation.
Well, so, we didn't say that.
No, I know, but I understood from Chuck that eventually, but he would hope to incorporate some parking. And so for me, none of the long-term answers really are good for usage for pedestrians. So for me, I just don't want to create that kind of a mess. So I'm more comfortable just staying with the original project size. Sorry.
Is there further commission discussion? I'm going to open the floor for public comment. Citizens wishing to speak to us about this matter.
Hi, my name is Sarah Whitaker, and I am Vice President. I live at 1028 West New Hampshire Street in Orlando, Florida. I do own two units at Lake Clarney Condominiums. My father owns one, and I'm Vice President of the Board, and I'm here appointed by the Board to speak on behalf of Lake Clarney Association. We were disheartened to hear that the PNZ Board was not going to uphold the code. I think the original project as proposed is better than the project that they are now proposing. Reducing the amount of parking spaces I wouldn't worry so much about Beachview parking. We're right next door to Trader Joe's. We are concerned with the overflow parking that could come through our complex. The comp plan, I think it does require that developments would have to mitigate for overflow parking. It isn't something that we should have to mitigate for. These are things that, even without getting variances, that they need to be mitigating for. It's going to be a very popular place. Everybody's very excited about the new development, Trader Joe's, but there's all these other multi-use units that are going in there also. I do also want to say that when they do look at reducing the parking area, the parking area is also associated with the drainage system that treats the water that goes out to Lake Killarney condominium. I mean, goes out to Lake Killarney. They do need to go back in and modify the ERP stormwater treatment system with the water management district. And it's my understanding that it was already pretty much pushed it to the max with the amount of drain field that they had that was associated with the parking spaces. I do not know if they've gone back in-house yet to have that modified, but that would also have to be done at the same time. So I'm concerned with the impact that it also may have on the lake, too, and not just for parking in our adjacent property. Thank you.
Thank you. Other citizens wishing to speak to us?
Carol Lotz-Beach. I also am a resident at Lake Killarney Condominiums. It is my home. And I do own a total of 6 units there. I am... No. I sent you an email. I shall read it to you. No to the parking variance for the very reason that they don't abide by the approved plans that are in order right now. At the end of last Thursday, after working hours for everybody, they had a contractor in there opening a major window space into their dumpster trash collection system facing us. This was not approved. I reported that to the city. It was verified to me that this was not an approved opening. The developer evidently is going back to say we are submitting plans for a louvered venting system facing us, the owners, from their garbage trash area. Why was this not included in the original plans? So I have a lot of problems with a developer that says, oh yes, thank you, this is what we're going to do, but in the day, as the day ends, then we're going to sneak behind you when nobody is there to check on it and just tweak this a little bit. They can put a venting system that's filtered on the roof or on the south side of their building, not toward the condominiums, and I just don't trust them anymore that their word is any good. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Other citizens wishing to speak to us?
Donna Collado, 327 Beloit. First of all, congratulations to our newly installed commissioners, and thanks to all of you who are starting another term of service to our committee. Now, probably you all know I've attended a lot of commission and P&Z meetings, and it concerns me that perhaps we're becoming the municipality where the expectation is rules are made to be broken. My observation is that the past development agreements have been easily altered and even deemed non-enforceable. A recent one I recall was the agreement with the Y. Variances are often governed by development agreements that seem to have no teeth, and that is a concern. Is there a legal agreement more binding than a development agreement that could be used by the city? As commissioners, you are tasked with upholding our comp plan and all the policies and ordinances that support it. It is my hope that in this day of the power of the pen, you will be using your pens to uphold that, uphold our laws, rather than assist in their circumvention. Thank you.
Great. Other comments? I'll give you the chance to speak, but as the applicant. Any other citizen comments? I'll close the floor for public comment. Applicant would like to speak to us? You're speaking as applicant, Chuck, so
yes.
I don't have to clock you.
A couple quick things. One is, first, parking lot monitoring. We plan on having no parking signs for other than employees of Lakeside, so I think we can patrol the parking lot that way. Second, the lady made a comment about us being sneaky, and we are transparent. We have been in a couple $100 million worth of development we've done in Central Florida. On page M.2.10, it does show the louver for the mechanical system. It was just the contractor failed to put it in when he was supposed to put it in, so they just put it in yesterday. So it's nothing we snuck in and did. And lastly, I'd like to once again redirect the thing that you guys have struggling over. Do we leave it as a the current motel, hoping that in the future our plans will come up with something better? And you know, I urge you once again, Commissioner Lehrer, you do development as well, that it does not make sense for me to have a $1 million parking lot sitting there. That if there's better opportunities that come in the future, we want to develop it to line the street with retail. The plans that I've been discussing with your staff for the redevelopment of the property across the street is an urban type of development, and I would hope your code would get to that point. And if so, it makes total sense to redevelop this property. If your code never gets there, you're going to keep the status quo. It's one of the two. And the status quo, going to the mayor's comment, is not as attractive as what we're going to offer. Put a nice little wall in with some landscaping, and I think it beats what you have today if you do not excel your code forward, which would allow better, tighter, more urbanistic development. And Commissioner Cooper, to your comment, if your code changes, it's our goal to take that intersection and, yes, to build a building there and relocate that parking onto the redeveloped property across the street to create a very pedestrian-friendly intersection. And it's probably no secret either that we've been making attempts to try to buy the condominium project next door, and we're in discussions with various different owners on that, because we see that whole sector as a great redevelopment opportunity on buildings that are antiquated. The hotel's antiquated, the motel's antiquated, the condominium complex could change a little bit. Mount Vernon's time has come, and we see that whole intersection. You've already got nice pedestrian crosswalks there. You've got the buttons where you push. We're dropping all the power lines to create a very nice streetscape there, and it would be our long-term goal to see that entire intersection very pedestrian-friendly, very walkable, cafe seating, urbanistic. So we're with you. We're going toward your goal. We've asked to be parts of these discussions that are coming up, the TAPS panel, and we're investing real money into the city, and I think we could be beneficial in the redevelopment plan. But I think long-term-wise, we see this as a stepping stone to get to a much better street. That's all my comments. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other commission discussion?
No, sir.
I'm going to ask the clerk to read the roll.
Commissioner Leary?
No.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
No.
Commissioner McNaughton?
Yes.
Mayor Bradley?
Yes. It's 5:20, so let me take our 5 o'clock comments, and then I'll take a brief recess after that.
And the trees are not up that were taken down for the paving in the Green Meadow, and that was 6 weeks ago. So it makes me wonder if we're going to have to revisit it again to pave it, if that's the reason. Thank you very much. Any comment of when that could be done?
I don't know. I know we took some trees down in Central Park that are needing to be replanted, too.
It's happened already.
No, we're getting ready to plant a bunch of trees, not the art festival.
Probably 500 cars in the West Meadow, too, so I'd like to revisit that, too, personally. Any other citizen comments? Saying further, I'll close the citizen comment period. I'd like to take, it's 5:20. Can we take 10 minutes? Is that all right?
Sure.
Yeah, that's fine.
And then we'll pick up the agenda. Thank you. Mr. Briggs, are you going to talk about item 12D with us, request of David Weekly Homes?
Yeah, two quick sentences. Back in 2001, we did a lot split on Kingsway, and the neighbors were very interested in what's going to be built. So we approved it with conditions that the houses had to come back through P&Z City Commission and no front entry garages. And so they've submitted the plans, talked to a couple of the neighbors, they really like them, and P&Z recommended approval.
So this is before us because of what happened in 2001. This is not. This
right.
was a
special condition.
This was a condition that was placed on the lots.
Yes.
Most helpful for me to know that. Rule of the commission on this matter.
Move them.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. I heard Commissioner McMacken. Commission discussion.
Just a quick comment, and Steve, from our discussion earlier, mm-hmm. I think if you look at the elevations on these homes, it's the sort of articulation that we ought to be seeing on homes in Winter Park. I mean, it is a, forget the materials or anything, but there's something there, and it's not just a box. So I recall this from back in 2001, and there was a real effort made to make sure that, you know, bedrooms facing bedrooms and whatnot was, they thought this one through.
Yeah.
I concur with you, except these were probably $800,000 houses, so I don't know that,
yeah,
you know, $80,000 houses are going to have the same level of articulation, but you can certainly be creative.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mr. Briggs, I'm looking at the building footprint and setbacks first floor, and it shows a driveway, and on the plan it looks like it, I'm having trouble. It looks like it goes into a garage at the front. Where did you go?
That's right.
Over there.
You come down the driveway, and then you curve around and go into the side entry garage.
Side entry garage. I got the impression that what was originally requested was a rear entry garage, but that's not the case?
The condition was no front entry.
No front entry.
You want to look at the garage doors.
Most helpful. Thank you. This has been moved and seconded. Further commission discussion? Hearing none, I'll close the, or not close, but open the floor for public comment. Any citizens wishing to speak to us about this matter? Seeing none, I'll close the floor for public comment. Y'all ready to vote? Quick, we'll read the roll.
Commissioner O'Leary?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMacken?
Yes.
Mayor Bradley?
Yes. Ms. Brown, item 12E, a resolution, please.
Yes, sir. A resolution of the City Commission of the City of Winter Park, Florida, authorizing negotiated and formal tender offer solicitations of all outstanding electric revenue bonds, Series 2005A, of the city issued as auction rate securities, subject to certain conditions and providing an effective date.
Mr. Knight, are you speaking to this, or Mr. Hamill?
If you have any questions, we'll be glad to answer them. But basically, this is more of the documentation we need to do towards our the tender offer we're making on the electric bonds, the auction rate security bonds that are outstanding.
As I figured, I will move this. Is there a second?
Second.
Commission discussion. Hearing none, I'll open the floor for public comment. Any citizens wishing to speak to us about this matter? Seeing none, I'll close the floor for public comment. Y'all ready to vote?
Yes,
quick, read the roll.
Commissioner O'Leary?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMacken?
Yes.
Mayor Bradley?
Yes. Item 12F, adoption of the fee schedule. Mr. Knight, did you want to speak to this?
Just briefly, we do this twice a year. We look at our fee schedule and propose certain adjustments. The first four pages of your packet show the proposed changes in this semiannual fee schedule change. We'll be glad to answer any questions.
Questions of Mr. Knight or staff? Will the commission on this matter?
Mr. Mayor, I'll move to approve it with one change, and that would be to remove the affordable housing fee that is on page 81 of the packet. It's 50 cents per square foot.
Is there a second?
Stephen, we still have dollars in the affordable housing fund?
There is, but very few, if I recall correctly.
We have about $410,000 remaining in the
not
affordable housing.
We have a lot.
So why do we keep collecting?
So why
saying?
Do we keep collecting when we don't have an affordable housing issue in Winter Park?
I
it can always be brought back if we find out we do have that problem.
I'd really like to hear our discussion with staff before I do that. I'm not opposed to what you're... I want to get my hands around the whole affordable housing program first. And that's the only reason that I'm hesitant to second that at this time. But I want to hear from staff, and so we get that global picture and just make sure. So.
So at this point, unless there's a second, I'm going to say that that motion dies for lack of a second. Any other motions the commission wishes to entertain at this point?
Well, I would move to accept the fee schedule as presented.
Is there a second?
Second.
Then I'll make an amendment to the motion to remove the affordable housing fee, and we can certainly discuss it.
And I'll second the amendment.
Thank you.
Are there any more budgetary items that have that kind of money in them that we have in here that we aren't aware of? I mean, that's a lot of money in one place that maybe we weren't all that aware of.
I'm not aware of any other pots of money like that that comes in through the fee schedule.
Do we know what that fee generates? And when is it paid?
Well, it's paid when you pull your permit. It's based on it's 50 cents per square foot, I believe, is the way it's calculated. So any new construction pays that.
Commercial, residential, right.
So a 10,000 square foot building would pay $5,000 for that? Is that what?
4,000, right.
4,000. 50 cents per.
Well, 50 cents per, yes, 5,000.
And it's for renovation, too. It's not just for new construction.
But we don't know how much square footage is permitted per year of commercial to know what the inflow of that is.
It's not residential.
It is
on residential.
$410,000 is. It can only be used for affordable housing?
Correct. And here's the deal. I mean, if we had, then we now have $410,000 sitting in there that from the emails that have come from staff, we don't have the need for. So why add to that pot if we don't have the need for it?
Steve, let me ask you a question. Would you be amicable to a motion that would accept, would temporarily hold that waiver until we've had a chance?
I think we can do it here, can't
to meet. Well, I mean, I want to sit down and really just talk through the whole affordable housing program. And you know, that can happen.
Well, we can adjust the fee schedule at any time. So if you vote no on the amendment today, we can certainly bring it up at some other time. Right, Randy? Am I correct?
Yes, that's correct.
We wouldn't have to wait a 6 month.
Okay, and if you vote yes and you say we need it, that's really you could change.
You could change a month from now after sitting with staff.
That's right.
Yeah.
While we do it by policy every 6 months, we can do it at any time.
Right.
Is there any other way you can spend that affordable housing money?
No.
Okay. I don't think you can cut.
That's what I thought. That's why I'm asking.
It was adopted by ordinance originally.
Okay.
The affordable housing linkage fee.
All right.
It doesn't.
And I would like to understand the language. I would like to understand the language of exactly how we adopted it and exactly what it can be used for. For my personal preference on this, Steve, I'm not in a position today to say that I'm ready to do away with that.
Sure.
I don't know what the future brings. I am extremely interested in not exceeding our commitment that we currently have toward affordable housing. I also am very interested in where we place
it. I don't know what that means. You're not to exceeding your current commitment.
Well, we have right now a 5% of construction. And I do believe that that is a good thing, a good and proper thing.
Sure.
But I'm not ready to let it go yet until I understand how we can bank it for future use, where we are with our goals, exactly what we might be able to use it for. I mean, there may be things that we can do with it other than buy a brand new house. There might be a way that we can incentivize inclusionary affordable housing. There might be ways that it could end up being an economic plus as well as a social plus for us. So for me, I'm not ready to let it go till I understand the parameters around exactly what it can be used for.
Commissioner Lear, I like your amendment. You know, there's numerous ways to handle affordable housing, and you mentioned some of those in our previous discussion. You know, incentivizing people, maybe you get more far if you have a project with affordable housing, mixed use, of which we're seeing lots of those types of projects probably within a project. You know, if you build 9 homes, you maybe build a 10th that's more affordable, et cetera. It's certainly in keeping with our whole city character. Mm-hmm. So I think there's numerous ways other than taxing our citizens to continue to encourage affordable housing. So,
and again, I also see in the market that we're competing with private market guys for affordable housing. There, I was discussing before, there was a house purchased in 2012 right within my arm's not quite what it used to be, but pretty close to throwing distance from here. And it's purchased for $40,000, and there was an investment. It's a beautiful one single-family home right now. And that $70,000 investment is still less than what some of these homes are selling for that we are providing the land for. So we are providing land for affordable housing that is more expensive than what the current private market has out there on the market. So it's dysfunctional. We don't necessarily, we have our needs met. So Jeff, I understand your concerns that we want more information out of it, but we've been talking about, I think every 2 years, the last 2 years I've brought this up with the fee schedule, and we don't seem to get anywhere with it except staff has provided us reports and say we are over what this city needs in regards to affordable housing, and yet we still continue to tax people that come in to apply for renovation.
Steve, as part of this discussion, I'd like to ask staff, is it our belief that we are at our 5% or greater for
affordable housing? Well, we certainly are now with the advent of the Atlantic Housing Project. Okay. I mean, really, all our affordable housing program was very aggressive in the past, working with other partners, including the Housing Authority. Now it's come down to basically collecting enough monies to give Habitat for Humanity their one lot a year that they need for their building projects. So certainly you could suspend the fund, since the fee, since there's some balance there. But at some point when that money is completely exhausted, you know, Habitat's mission will end unless we come back and revisit a fee on a lower level of 10 cents or 15 cents future point.
Hang on, I'm sorry. That's I understand what you're saying, but I've spoken with Hal, and he's basically said, listen, if the city doesn't provide the land, I'll just go out and raise private funds. He said that's not. So their mission doesn't change. Their mission doesn't end. Just changes. We're just not giving them free land to put affordable housing.
It just changes their fundraising mission from $80,000 per house to $160,000 per house, because that's really
the lots are $80,000 a single lot over on that side of town, where they're currently building all their houses.
The lots have ranged from 50 to 150, depending on the economy. So it's
Jeff or George. Do you know how much square footage we permitted in 2013 in our city? It's probably a number I should have on the tip of my tongue. Could we start to add that to our
$50 million?
Yeah, but we don't know how many square feet that is.
But we probably took in about $200,000 last year with the fee. So we are taking in more than
$400,000.
I think we can easily.
So that's $200,000 with the fee.
Let's
call
a halt to it, and my amendment ends it now. But we can. I'm happy to revisit it if we need to in the future. If we see that we're falling behind, then let's redo it. But it's. We just need to do it instead of talking about it for the past couple of years.
And keep adding to that pot.
That now we're obliged to spend.
Yeah, in one place only.
Other commission discussion? Hearing that, sorry?
Since we passed that by ordinance, the thing that has some appeal to me is some of the other things that we know we may need to deal with, like in our tree, in our urban forestry plan. Maybe we pass that by ordinance and replace that. I mean, maybe that's how we get towards where we're going. We don't want to have to ask people to pay more money to redo what they're doing, but maybe that's how we move towards, that's why I said, is there any other pot out there like that? Because if we're sitting there with over $400,000 in a pot that we're not going to spend over 5 years, then there's a
I'm sorry, Sarah. We just said this about the tree preservation fund, and we went into the tree preservation fund and we spent all of the money out of the tree preservation fund, and now we're having to tell our residents that we're not comfortable even taking over the maintenance of trees. So I worry a little bit.
We didn't do that.
So we haven't done that since 1952.
We took it out of the urban forestry plan, the commitment.
No, we didn't.
No, it was never in the urban forestry plan. It hasn't been there since 1952 per ordinance, Commissioner.
Well, okay. I think I have my facts right, Mayor. I believe that the urban forestry plan indicated that we were going to consider doing that and moving forward, and we took that language out, which was in and of itself a commitment that said we were going to look at it. So for me,
let's be clear.
My concern about this is not that
we right now have maybe more affordable housing in the market than is necessary, because I agree with that, and I'm very cautious about where we put it. On the other hand, I don't know, as we move forward, that we want to exhaust the fund, because I believe that as a commitment of our community, we do have a commitment to affordable housing.
I couldn't agree more.
And so the question isn't, the problem that I have seen is that when you kill something, when you stop collecting something, and then you want to try to collect something again in the future, that logical nexus that you use to justify that collection starts to become very difficult to support. And so for me, I'd rather take our time about it and understand exactly what we have done, what we are planning to do in the future. So I really would like to get that presentation on affordable housing first. That's all. I want to understand.
And this is why I'm so concerned about the trees, because if there's 20,000 right-of-way trees, is that correct? 20,000? I spend $2,000 every 2 years for my three?
Yep.
So 20,000 times whatever to keep them up is not a 50 cent per fee. It's measured in millions, and I haven't done the math, but you can do the math. So I think the discussion from the 1950s, which has not been implemented, there's been a lot of misinformation thrust upon our citizens in elections and by commissioners and others about what we do and haven't done for the trees. The facts of the matter are, we've asked our citizens to trim their trees for, I think it was before 1952 per Mr. Knight's information.
Yeah.
I think it was the 1920s. So.
And I thought I was responsible for cutting all the trees down.
I don't.
That's supposed to be funny, you guys. I shouldn't have mixed it with that. I just was thinking, you know, we have a lot of other things to look at. I'm going to support your amendment, by the way, because I think that if that becomes something, I hear what you're saying. I'd like to hear the history of it. But if we're sitting there with a pot of $410,000 and we're taking it out of the taxpayers, that just doesn't seem right to me. So.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Okay, other commission discussion? Open the floor for public comment. Any citizens wishing to speak to us about this matter?
My husband's on the board of Habitat.
Would you identify yourself?
I'm sorry. This is the first time I've ever spoken here, so I'm a little nervous.
Don't be nervous.
Okay. I'm Patricia Shaney, 2121 Mohawk Trail. My husband, Stephen Shaney, is on the board of the Habitat for Humanity, and I'm a little uncomfortable. I know you said you spoke to Hal George, and I'm very concerned that if you're going to suspend the fee that's been in place, $400,000 sounds like a lot of money, but I think Winter Park has a lot to be proud of to the commitment that we've made in building beautiful new homes in the west side of Winter Park. And $400,000 sounds like a lot of money, but when you look at what it costs to build a home, to buy property, that gets consumed fairly quickly, I would imagine. So it seems like that $400,000 would be consumed fairly quickly. It's not been money that's just been sitting there unused. They're building houses all the time over in the west side. So I would just prefer, that you have Hal speak or people from Habitat speak about how that is going to affect them before you vote to end a fee like that that's done such wonderful work.
Thank you. Other citizens wishing to speak to us about this?
Donna Collado, 327 Beloit. Mine is not about Habitat fees or affordable housing fees, but we're still addressing fees in general.
Okay. Yes.
Mine is about park fees. I may not understand this, but I think it's on page 72 of the packet, at least that's what it was on when I looked it up online. Park concessionaire permits. First of all, I'm sort of concerned that we have concessionaires, people making money in our parks. That is a concern of mine. But then I see that they can pay $120 and have 12 days of sales, which accounts for $10 a day. But if I want to rent a pavilion to have my grandchildren's birthday party, I might have to pay $30 to $70 for a half a day. And I don't think this is very equitable. And it concerns me that we're sort of selling our parks to entrepreneurs to use, and our Park Avenue and other business owners are paying taxes on their property, and for $10 a day, a concessionaire can go in and compete with them. And that's very concerning to me. I think it's something that maybe in the future you would want to take a look at.
Thank you. Other citizens wishing to speak to us? Seeing none, I'll close the floor for public comment. For the commission discussion, clerk will read the roll on the amendment, which addresses the affordable housing fee.
Commissioner Leary?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
No.
Commissioner McMackin?
No.
Mayor Bradley?
Yes. Now, with the adoption of the fee schedule as amended.
Commissioner Leary?
Yes.
Commissioner Sprinkle?
Yes.
Commissioner Cooper?
Yes.
Commissioner McMackin?
Yes.
Mayor Bradley?
No.
Mayor, let me ask a question.
Mr. Brown.
Thank you. On the motion to amend, which was now into the main motion, did the commission eliminate the affordable housing fee or take it down to zero? Or what will be the amount of the fee, if any, now?
Be zero.
Okay, so it's still shown there in the schedule that it'll be zero.
Well, the maker of the motion can clarify that for us, but
I'm happy to leave it there as a concession to my fellow commissioners in case it rises above in the future. So, yes, we can leave it at zero.
Thank
you.
That's
zero.
Good clarification. Thank you.
Thank you for that clarification. We'll now move to city commission reports. Commissioner Leary.
Mr. Mayor, only to say that it is, I can't overstate how well we are received, this community, locally, regionally, and nationally. Again, Governor Bush was here, and his mother's family is from my hometown, and just we started talking about the similarities of Rye, New York, and Winter Park, and he said, you know, it's just such a, he compared it to the two, and that's a colonial town, founded in the 1600s, and Senator Thrasher came in to call Winter Park his second hometown, the senator from St. Augustine. Mayor Schieferdecker stopped me not too long ago and was just talking about how fortunate we are to have all the wonderful things happening in Winter Park, and how jealous, and how as we, you know, put up a brand new beautiful train station, we have all these great things going on. It frustrates him because his people look at him and say, you know, he said, we can't even get a little project out of the ground. And again, we had Attorney General Bondi here, and you know, just constantly people are telling us how wonderful the city is. And I will tell you, too, during the Winter Park Arts Festival, the emergency service professionals that were out there, Chief and Chief White, the chief's here, Pat, your guys, the example, and they were all professional, courteous, fun, smiling, but the presence was out there. It was really good to see, and it was a very welcome group. So not only is the city looking good and we have great projects on, but when people interact with the city and the personnel of the city, we get so much positive feedback about everything that's going on. So just to let you know, I appreciate everything you guys do, and how you make us all look a heck of a lot better up here through your actions and through some of the things that are going on in the city. So it's just worth it.
Thank you. Anything else?
No, sir.
Commissioner Sprinkle.
I'm going to pass these out because I just wrote down some of the things that were learnings to me during the things that I heard from people when I was running for re-election. I just want us to put them out there so that we have a way at some point in time to actually address them. And I don't think there's anything on this list that's new to anybody up here, but I put them in black and white so we can look at them. And then I'm hoping to see them come back to us at some time. The sidewalks thing I've been hearing about, parking on the avenue, of course, I'm still looking for a mechanism for people to be able to easily figure out when they're going to get undergrounded so I don't have to ask Jerry every time. I still need a little help with street signs and street lights and signage overall. These are things that we've all talked about. I just want you to have them and know that this is what I heard repeatedly as I talked to folks in the public. Still want to address Wi-Fi throughout the city. And then, of course, the baseball park and Lee Road, and we know that those are issues. We've already talked about them up here and how we address them. I just want us to put them on a timeline sometime so we don't lose them somewhere. Thanks. And it is interesting to be here again. I'm delighted, and I'm looking forward to it. And we'll hopefully get a few more things addressed.
Great. Commissioner Cooper?
Not a big today. Good weekend to be in Winter Park.
Beautiful. Commissioner McMacken?
It does feel different the second time, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Commissioner Sprinkle, you mentioned Lee Road, and this came to me when we were up in Tallahassee this week, and we met with DOT.
Right.
And as they asked for a letter of recommendation on that, one of the things that they mentioned, though, was that they were not going to go through a full PD&E study again. The last one that was done in 04 or 03 or whatever, from a technical standpoint, seemed to suffice, and they were going to merely update that one. And the only thing that, and I'm fine with that to a point, the only thing that I was concerned about was normally part of a PD&E study is there's a, I don't want to call it a workshop, there's a public presentation by the DOT consultant. And they put the boards up in the room and have people there to answer questions, technical questions about what's going to happen and whatnot. That's going to come to us, Lee Road's coming to us on our agenda in the future sometime. And my thought goes back to, we have a traffic consultant who's looking at the
study. From
the study. And I think it would be extremely beneficial if we had that consultant, for lack of a better term, had a public open house or a public presentation prior to that issue coming to us, so that any misinformation, any fables, any rumors, anything out there is addressed by a technician, by the people that are actually doing the study, before we have a room full of people here who may or may not have access to all the information. It's not something that I would attend or anything else. I think it's something we would request our consultant to, in effect, hold an open house and say, here's the results of our study for the citizens of Winter Park, so that information is out there. So we don't run into a tree scenario again where we've got 75 different variances of what the urban forestry plan is supposedly about. And I'd like to ask for three nods to say that's something I'd like at least the city manager to look at it with our consultant and see if that's feasible or not to do. I think it would.
I'd like to understand what the consultant's bringing to us. We can certainly have public comment. Our staff can do that at any given time. We can bring Dodd and have public comment. By having our consultant come and present, I don't know what they'd be presenting to seek public input on.
What they normally do with a PD&E is they come in and say, here's the results of the study.
Yeah, and I don't know if this is the type of consultant that does that or not, or what our contract with
that
consultant is.
Normally for a traffic study, you have the traffic consultant do that.
Okay, Commissioner, I'm supportive of the city. If we're going to move forward with, or if FDOT's going to move forward with that, to engage the public, if that's what you're looking for.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the different pieces of that are.
And if it's going to engage the public on cross-through traffic, I can support that through our city, but if it's zoned in on one specific neighborhood or one specific place, I think those people can seek out whatever way they want to get information on. So I'm not supportive of it in general, but I would love to have a conversation about it.
Because that is going to be a hot topic, I think, as you walked and as I heard and everything else. And what I continue to hear are 47 different varieties of that, and I would really like to have the opportunity for that information to be presented so that people can understand it prior to their coming here to the commission.
But I'd like to know it too.
Well, yeah. No,
okay, so I'm all about opening all of this up to the public because they surely need to know it. But I don't know it.
Well, I haven't
had anything, and so do I want it to go out to the everybody else before I get it? No.
Well, I'm fine with us doing it and then having it.
I like that a little better because I like the idea of all of us getting it. But I don't want to have 50 people out there getting it, and I know no idea, because I feel that way all the time.
No, I'm not on that page at all, Commissioner. I think it's, again, I think it's something.
Okay.
It's information before it comes here, and I think to hear it from the city's consultant and not from us or up here at the dais or anything else, just... I want everybody to understand what it is before it gets here.
But clearly, as I understand, the consultant is looking at the traffic flow for a project. It is not looking at the traffic flow for 1792.
It's been looked at. The traffic flow for the project is specifically... Lee Road has a major impact on that traffic study for that project, and Lee Road is coming here first. It's not coming here as part of that project. It's coming here as a standalone.
Can I take a stab at this?
Sure. And I welcome, again, I'm throwing this out because normally there would have been, if this were a project starting from scratch, there probably would have been a PD&E and there would have been a public.
Would it be fair to
presentation?
Would it be fair to say that the request then would be for city staff to work with consultants and possibly DOT to do some type of presentation to the community in regards to what the Lee Road extension is going to bring to the community?
Yeah, I think it's much better to come from FDOT, because ultimately at the end of the day, this is an FDOT project.
Right. I just don't want to get into specifics yet. I just think all the parties need to come to the table, which is city, FDOT, consultants, and then we go to the community. And what that looks like just yet, I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either. My only thing is that FDOT will probably say that's a great idea, but we're not legally required to do this, and they probably won't participate.
They may or may not.
I mean, they're not.
They want a letter of support. I think that they.
I think just need to be prepared that they may say, "Gee, that's a great idea, city, and we support it 110%, and tell us how it turns out."
I feel pretty comfortable. We could probably get them.
Okay, I'm fine with what you. I'm fine with.
Okay, then you have a nod here for that.
Okay, I'm on that page.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's two nods.
There's another nod.
Thank you.
Well, I don't know what we're asking for. I mean, we're just asking the city manager to have that meeting.
The city manager to work with FDOT and any of the consultants that are involved with that project to develop a presentation that we can give to the citizens of Winter Park in regards to what a Lee Road extension is going to mean.
Understood. Is that fair enough?
Thank you.
If Dory's nodding her head, then. No, thank you, sir. That's all I had, Mr. Mayor.
At our next meeting, we will be electing for the next year our vice mayor. And then I also want to commend, and I'm equally proud of living in a city that published this great...
That's great, John.
...great report, John. I trust that we'll make it available, Carissa, on our website, if it's not already, so that our citizens, in fact, I wouldn't mind sending out something special to alert our citizens to this as a document. So maybe that can come out as a mayor's message about the good things that are happening in our city. So... with that, I would seek a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Okay, by acclamation. You all have a great evening.
Thanks.